So happy to have with us right now the one and only Bernie Kosar. Bern, how's your weekend, brother?
Good weekend. Fighting off hurricanes down in South Florida. Glad to be in Ohio this time of the year.
Yeah, that seems to be like a dangerous place down there, and I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're up here, and look forward to, of course, the final preseason game, which is coming up Thursday night against the Bears. Get to kind of wrap this thing up, and everybody looks forward really to the end of the preseason. But before we get there, let's clean up a little business from last week. The Friday night game against the Eagles, not a pretty one in many respects, Bernie, but in a lot of respects, it's a good thing that there was more exposure, I guess, by this offense to the talent of this Eagles defense, even if what we're not talking about here is specific game planning on their part and specific game planning on the Browns part.
Well, in terms of the specifics of out chess matching the opponents in this third preseason game, when you're going to be playing them the first game, there wasn't going to probably be much of that, because why waste the good plays now when you're going to in the practice season, when you're going to have a regular game September 9th. That being said, though, I thought the physicalness of the game the other day, really by both teams, the amount of hits, the noise, even up in the press box on the fourth level of the stadium, being able to hear the contact, I thought was really awesome. Unfortunately, I think Philadelphia did a little more of it, and I think part of it stems from psychology is, I think, really important and really predominant. Even with football teams, and especially young football teams, I think we were feeling pretty good about ourselves after a fantastic performance the week before in Green Bay at Lambeau Field against the Packers. And I think Philadelphia was really embarrassed a little bit on Monday Night TV the previous week at New England.
Right.
And we even saw during that game how Andy Reid and Colin Jenkins actually had a shouting match on the sideline. So I think their intensity level was incredibly challenged during the week, and they came in Friday night with a physical chip on their shoulder and physically took it to us in just about every aspect of the game.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because, yeah, there was definitely an attitude from that Monday night performance that you saw from the Eagles' part that they wanted to make amends. But from the flip side of this, Bernie, how much can we look at it this way, that to the Browns, that game against Green Bay, even though it was the second preseason game, was really treated in almost every respect by the coaching staff and by the players in taking their cues from the coaching staff, from Pat Shurmur and the assistants, that was the third preseason game. That was the tune-up. That was the one to get dialed in on and really focused on what you're going to be doing in the regular season. And then it was a really good performance to boot, the best of what they've done this so far this summer to boot, that, you know, maybe there was just that sense of, okay, we got that one in the books. Now everything after this is just stay healthy and get through it.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right. And that's where sometimes it gets dangerous for us players, when you're trying to stay healthy, when you're thinking along those lines, when you're not maybe as focused at the task at hand as maybe you should be, you tend to sometimes, I think, get performances like we had Friday night. And I don't think it was any one person or any one particular group. I think it was a soundness and a completeness and just about everybody that had their issues and chipped into the way the performance went so poorly for us Friday night.
One of the biggest issues of that game Friday night clearly was the inside pressure that the Eagles were generating and the struggles that the Browns guards, that Jason Pinkston and Sean LaValle in particular, had in dealing with that, and Brandon Whedon in many instances having pressure come right on his lap before he could get at the moment that he got into his drop. Now, you know, that's a really good line. It's a quick line. You touched upon the points earlier about how physical the game was and the urgency that they played, and maybe that sense of you know, whatever it might have been, anger over what happened the previous Monday night in New England, but how, whatever it was, physically they were taking it to the Browns. But how good is it, I guess, for those two young guards, for the line in general, to deal with that in that game, knowing and putting in their memory bank, you know, these are the guys we're going to deal with on opening day in a couple of weeks as well.
Well, not only in their memory banks, but in their physical banks also. The Philadelphia defense, I talked about this a little bit on the telecast, was very similar in concept to the Detroit Lions defense that we saw in the first preseason game. And we talked about the wide nine techniques, the ends lined up a yard to 2 yards outside the widest either offensive lineman or tight end, and kind of creating space with their up-the-field pressure, not only by the defensive ends in a wide alignment, but also in the defensive tackles. And that element of don't worry about the run, get to the quarterback as quick as possible, and at any cost, oh, and by the way, if it is a run, okay, then stop and adjust from that point. But pass rush pressure is predominant there, and we struggled a little bit against it against Detroit. And again, it showed up again against the Eagles in the third game that the line, and it's not too much uncommon where the cohesiveness and the communication of an offensive line, even early in training camp like this, doesn't have the communication down yet to where I think they know where their help is. So they end up being a lot of man-on-man blocking, and with that speed, strength, and athleticism of Philadelphia's front four, it put a lot of duress on crushing the pocket and putting a lot of quick pressure on Brandon Wheaton on Friday night.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, for Brandon Wheaton's sake, getting that pressure, dealing with it at the fullest extent, certainly is good for the training. Overall, he has had more than 100 snaps in three preseason games. I would say the good and the bad that comes from a rookie quarterback experiencing that much work in his first preseason can only be a good thing.
Well, I think the timing, again, we have some young offensive linemen. We definitely have some young receivers. Jordan Cameron, basically a young tight end, some younger running backs. So being a rookie starting quarterback, I'd rather get more reps than less reps. Get more experience than less experience. And again, albeit not all of it has been very pretty, I do think he's learning and the group is learning. And even probably more importantly, they are probably developing and giving themselves a better chance at cohesiveness for when the real games start.
Yeah, and in the case of Wheaton, it was interesting at practice on Sunday, it was noticeable that Coach Pat Shurmur was definitely reminding him to, you know, get rid of the ball, and when it was time to surrender, when it was going nowhere, just reminding him get rid of the football. And Brandon Wheaton knows this, obviously, as a quarterback, and knows this through his college career. You're not going to try to hang on to it and take the sack or risk a bad play and then bail out of it, cut your losses. But I think it was interesting that earlier today Pat Shurmur was talking about how the heroism that is in every quarterback. And Bernie, you know this, right? That idea that you can conquer and save everything and anything, not just on the football field, probably. And the idea that your mindset is to try to win at all costs, even in the most dire circumstances, that you'll pull something out. But in truth, that isn't always going to be the case.
Well, I'm kind of chuckling here, Vic. Your little line you injected there of the competition, the heroism, the trying to win at all cost, on and off the field. How true is that? I mean, I could just see in my own life how you try to help things out on and off the field.
Everything.
For people around you, for your family, so that. Because you've been given so many gifts, and Brandon's been given some gifts, and again, we saw remnants on flashes of it the other night with some of those outthrows. I mean, on that first drive, that one to Muhammad Massaquoi is artistically pretty, a throw, as I've seen, in a long time. And I like watching that. I like some of the deeper throws. I like the amount of attempts at deep throws that we did in the game. Not hitting most of them, but that does help loosen up the defense. It shows a lot of people you're not afraid to go deep. And with age and with time, yes, it has to come some times where you have to put the white flag up,
right,
and surrender. And I use this line in the games announcing a couple times this year: live to fight another day. And sometimes it's hard to admit that the play's over, or the defense won, or the percentages are working against you right now, and it's best just to throw the ball away, take the down and distance, and go on to the next down. And again, I think he will get that. As a matter of fact, I know he'll get that. That's not something I'm overly worried about with him.
Bernie, great stuff as always. We look forward to seeing you a little bit later in the week, bud.
Talk to you during the week, bud.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us, as he always does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up. I'll answer your questions next on Ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.